There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your host, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have a special guest, Mr. Jeremy Pound. Jeremy, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Excited to be in the den. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. So just a little bit about Jeremy. In the last decade, Jeremy has crafted online marketing strategies for countless organizations and professionals ranging in size from the smallest of businesses to Fortune 100 companies. He writes and speaks regularly on how organizations can best take advantage of the web to grow their customer base. Fortunate enough to come of the age, the height of the dot-com boom, Jeremy was pioneering high-traffic internet websites for a Gannett newspaper at the age of 17. From there, his experience was shaped by several startups and eventual founding of his own internet software firm in 2001. Jeremy Pound has also built the sales playbook for some of the fastest growing property management companies in the nation. His deep background in sales process engineering has allowed him to design the kind of sales process that can allow a brand new salesperson to the autonomous within a week. So Jeremy, thanks again. And just why don't you give us a little bit about background about yourself?
Yeah, I think that I just love all things sales. You know, I've been a small business owner for now 2 decades. That bio may be a little needs to be updated, you know, at this point. started my first business when I was 21. 20 years later, still running a small business. And I've just, you know, really realized early on how critical it was to master the sales and marketing component and how powerless small businesses are when they cannot learn how to create demand for their products and services, how to sell them at a premium, how to attract the right customers, how to gatekeep and screen out the misfit customers. And I wasn't great at that. It's not like I was a natural born salesperson. In fact, I resent that sometimes when people say, oh, you were born to do sales. This is so easy for you. No, I struggled with this like everybody in the beginning. And I realized how critical it was. And I refused not to be able to have that skill. And so I've just kind of, you know, spent the last 2 decades being obsessed with that. I've built multiple service-based companies, professional service firms, from website development and software to now, you know, sales training and consulting, hiring sales professionals for property management companies. And it just really come to the awareness that most of the sales training content and ideology out there was really perfected and designed for selling products, you know, cars, wireless services, other things. And it's just an entirely different set of sub skills to effectively sell services. And so I am fortunate enough to get to spend most of my days helping small business owners learn that, master that, and replace themselves as the only salesperson in their company.
Cool.
Very cool.
But I had a quick question. So I was reading up on you, and I've seen it. You have one of your brands is Juicy Results. So I want to know where that name came from.
Yeah, I got a great story for you on that one. You know, I was running a web development service company in the financial crisis. And, you know, there was just a lot of things wrong with that business. I think that, you know, I always try to be open and candid about the failures in business, because let's mm-hmm. be honest, you learn a lot more from that than you do from the successes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, early in my 20s, I built a business, you know, grew close to $1 million in revenue. And, you know, everything just seemed like it was easy in business. And during the financial crisis, 2008, it was very clear to me that a lot of what I had built was a house of cards. It was not really going to go forward. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I kind of did some soul searching and decided I wanted to pivot the business model. And I kind of ended up winding that company down and starting a marketing agency. And I went to all my clients who had hired me and all my business owner friends And I said, you know, what tell me about your challenge of marketing and what you're trying to do. And it occurred to me that after interviewing like 50 people, and you guys may respond well to this, there was two things that people really cared about if they were going to hire a marketing agency. One, they wanted to be really proud of the work. They wanted to look good. They wanted to have a really good image. And two, it actually had to bring them new business. And so I partnered up with a design company that had Juicy in the name, and we started this new marketing agency. I said, you know, what do all small business owners want in their marketing? They want it to be juicy and they want results. And so we actually
call it Juicy Results. Very cool. That's awesome. So tell us about RentScale and what the company does and the power behind that company.
Yeah, I appreciate being able to talk about this with you guys, because I know we've gotten to work together, and you know, it's really exciting. We're about 2 years old here at RentScale. And after I kind of exited the marketing agency, I was helping small business owners systematize their sales process and truly, you know, build out sales teams, write sales playbooks. And that just became my passion. I was speaking about that, helping a number of companies. And Jordan Buela, my business partner, who's also a co-founder of Lead Simple and has done a lot of amazing things in the residential property management industry, was introduced to me, heard my podcast, and he said, the residential property management industry needs this so bad. This industry is exploding. He's really visionary about this. He thought, there's only going to be more demand for these companies. There's going to be consolidation. A lot of companies have been getting by, you know, just kind of winging it and just being successful because they're the only people in town. And that's going to change. And these guys need to really level up on their sales. And hopefully, if these businesses grow, it can't be the business owner doing all of the sales forever. So he said, you know, let's start a company. Let's do this just for property management. And I resisted. This went on for almost a year. I said, you know, no problem. You can just send them to some, you know, Juicy Results and we'll help them do that. He said, no, these guys, this industry is so tight. If you don't understand everything they do and we don't understand exactly the nuance and what's, you know, what makes them so different than other types of real estate companies, they're just not going to listen to this advice. And it's so critical. And so he hounded me. It was a great lesson in persistence, by the way. And so he sent me about a half a dozen clients, and the engagements went really well. And I said, okay, you're right. Let's do this. Let's build a whole team just to help residential property managers really dial in their sales process, build out a sales playbook so that they know how to articulate the vision. They stop positioning themselves as doers and gophers, and they bundle their services and they truly position themselves as value creators and asset managers and all the things you guys know exactly what you do. I'm probably saying exactly what you're thinking and have told your clients a million times, but let's just be honest. The way that we package that, the confidence we say that with, and the words and the phrases we use matter. And so now we are 2 years, and I think we've built sales playbooks for about 170 residential property managers in North America, US and Canada. I think we've hired close to 60 full-time sales professionals, BDMs, for property managers. And we have Scale Club, which is the largest community of sales professionals in North America. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you've been at a big organization, a big sales company, you know about the sales training, you know about the good sales management, you know about the camaraderie. I mean, heck, some of these guys even have the President's Club and they send the best people to Hawaii at the end of the year. Let's just be honest, as small business owners, we can't do that. And so Scale Club allows companies like us to kind of crowdsource that. And so they have other peers and they have professional sales training. They have support to be there at the peaks and the valleys of their sales day and truly create like a sales community for these people. And that's my favorite part about what we do. So I absolutely love that. Anytime I get to work with those guys, we are constantly being bombarded by wins and new hires. And it's just awesome. I mean, even though they're not my employees, I feel like I have this little sales family of like 50 amazing sales professionals. It's so cool to see them succeed. Yeah.
I mean, our BDMs have participated.
Oh, absolutely. I think Jeremy, you and I, we met maybe 2 years ago at a PM Grow conference in Austin. That might have been the time that you were getting started with RentScale, and everybody's, you know, hyping it like, hey, you need to talk to Jeremy. You need to talk to Jeremy. And so I ended up, I think I went to a boot camp, and I think it was in Nashville, you know, and I was just, immediately I was sold. So I came back and hired you guys to help design our sales playbook, and that was a game changer for our business. You know, and we had two different markets. So, you know, getting both markets to, you know, be aligned together was one thing. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely was a game changer. And we did Scale Club as well, which our BDMs totally loved that. They loved being around other salespeople and kind of seeing what they're doing. So, yeah, kudos to you. I have a ton of respect for you.
So, yeah, anybody else calls from Houston, you just don't answer it, but because it works. So
it does.
Just keep training our people. So I think we have an interview today for a new BDM, another position. So you might be hearing from us to get her on board, and she'll be awesome in your.
Oh, you will be hearing from us.
Yeah. So, but no, I mean, it really was a game changer.
I just want to say from my own standpoint, to pile on, is that, you know, watching you guys truly be entrepreneurs, which is, you know, what we need to do as business owners, myself included. I just know there's been levels of success in my own entrepreneurial life, and there's a very short period of time where we need to be doing it all ourselves. Right? Mm-hmm. At some point, we need to invest in our team and we need to invest in our systems. And I just got to say, you know, watching all the businesses you run and the complementary nature of all of these, you know, I'm also a fan. It's just great to see you guys treat it like a business that you care about. You don't neglect it. You don't expect everyone else to do it. You're passionate about it, but you truly are treating it like a business. I think it's a fantastic model that I've used, you know, dozens of times at conferences on sales calls about what I want to see entrepreneurs doing in property management.
Yeah. I mean, it was, thank you for that. And thank you for the compliment.
And
it's hard because I think in the beginning, you know, as when you're small and it's just you, or maybe just you and an admin, I mean, the sales are so important that I think sometimes the owners don't, you know, I can't give that up to somebody. And be honest, there's probably people that can do a lot better job of it than you can to begin with. So, but it took us, we're not geniuses by any nature. It took us a long time to realize how valuable the sales and marketing aspect was. And once we really got that dialed in, it's when things really started to explode, and we started to, without us being involved, is another key proponent to that. And So, I think, you know, if anybody is in the property management space, are you doing it for any other industry or just property management?
No, we're totally focused on residential property management right now.
So, I mean, take a look at it. If you're listening and you have a property management company and you're looking for that sales training, and you also help find BDMs, is that correct? Is that an aspect of it? Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a great process for attracting them, setting the expectations, comp model, training them, and then, you know, kind of leading them over time.
Cool. So getting back into sales, so like I know we were totally blown away and impressed with you know, your process, how you created the sales playbook, you know, developed that and worked with our staff. And so tell me how you put that together. And then a second question that, say we have a listener that, you know, is just wanting to enter into sales and, you know, either some aspect of it or want to get more information on it. What would you recommend to them? So.
Yeah, those are great questions. So I'll start with the first portion, which is kind of like, how did we get here and how have we done this? You know, it's no surprise to you, but I'm sure you have various parts of your business, Sean, that were like completely, you know, only I can do this. There's no system for this. I'm never going to be able to find someone to do it. And then you do, and then it's never the same. And then you move on to another point. And so, you know, if a prospect calls you and says, hey, can you explain to me, you know, how you manage my funds and distribute those funds and take care of the financial reporting, you would never say to them, well, we just have this great girl, Sally, over in accounting, and nobody really knows what she does, but she's just amazing at it, right? Like the owner would like hang up and just
right.
You know, and it's the same thing with like, well, how do you do a maintenance request and what's your responsibility and my responsibility? And you're like, well, can't really tell you that, but Sam is an amazing handyman and it always just somehow works out, right? It's just like laughable. We would never do that. And there's just, you know, that's how we look at sales and most of our small businesses. It's just like, well, I could never really teach someone how to do it. It's just an accumulation of my decades of experience. And I was definitely there. And just like all things, you know, you got to put yourself under the microscope. You got to come up with a system and you got to realize that business scales when you think macro, not micro. Mm-hmm. So it's not about having the exact answer to every situation, although you will come up with that over time. It's about taking a step back and realizing, you know what? These are really the four conversations I have to have with every new prospect. These are really the things that they care about. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, there's about six or seven reasons people really buy my product, you know? And just getting clear with that, it's hard work. It takes time. It's not impossible. It's not genius work, but it's work and it's hours in the day and it never seems important. And so, you know, one of my mentors, Jack Daly, says, the only reason any business I've ever been a part of didn't grow is that they prioritize the urgent over the important. Mm-hmm. And the businesses that grow make time for the important, even when they're not urgent. Right. And so I think that, you know, just kind of systematizing your sales process, building a playbook, coming up with a consistent way to greet strangers and convert them into customers, to qualify them, compel them, and then onboard them is so important. But there's nobody calling you every day with a fire to get you to do it, right? And so you just have to make the time to do it. So I just want to share that because I feel like that is just a microcosm of everything in business that we always need to be realizing is, you know, how much of my time am I allotting to the important versus the urgent? Because the urgent will always be there,
right?
But the urgent just kind of is the treadmill, right? It just keeps you in the same place. You got to make time for that important stuff. Now, if you think about sales, I can't say enough great things about sales. I know a lot of people are allergic to sales, but let's just be honest, it's a critical concept, right? Mm-hmm. So if you think about getting in sales, I just encourage you to surround yourself with people that you respect as salespeople, because there's a lot of different ways to do sales. I think sales is an amazing service. Convincing people, if you approach sales the way we teach it, which is to be a trusted advisor, to never push something on somebody who it's not in their best interest, and realize that with some distance, you're a little bit like a doctor. You're diagnosing somebody's problems. You're selling outcomes, not products. You're selling, you know, transformation, not information. You're truly trying to help people grow. Then, you know, you just show up with a lot of confidence and enthusiasm, which I think are really important. So my first, you know, there's a lot of things I can share. I can give you guys a list of books that I believe in and some, you know, we have tons of sales training that we put out for free all the time. But I would say the number one thing to do is find a role model, because there's a lot of different misconceptions. There's a lot of misconceptions, a lot of different flavors of sales. Mm-hmm. So I find someone that you truly want to model, and then that's going to shape your journey as you get into sales.
That's cool.
That's so true. Thank you for sharing that, Jeremy. And now that we talk on the subject of what books would you recommend?
Okay. Well, I got a whole library downstairs. That's my thing. So, and I moved in. I always had a dream list to have a library, and I finally do. And it's so exciting.
Do you sit in it? Do you sit there and read? Is it like?
The library is more of a place where the books are stored. I read all over the place. I mean, I do sit in there sometimes. I read mostly like when I'm on planes and traveling.
Yeah.
I listen to audiobooks all the time. But I do. I wake up early. It's part of my morning routine. I probably spend the first hour of every day reading and learning new things. And that goes a long way. So if we're talking about sales, I mentioned my mentor, Jack Daly. He's got a fantastic book called Hyper Growth Sales. And that's amazing. Love Hyper Growth Sales. The audio book is a lot of fun because Jack's like a really energetic guy. He's run like a marathon on all seven continents and all 50 states.
Wow.
Narrates the Audible book himself. So that's a really exciting one. The book that probably shaped my sales career the most was Ultimate Sales Machine by Chip Holmes. And so you remember coming to Nashville, Joni, we talked about the Dream 100 and we sent that video. We found 100 clients we wanted to do business with. And instead of waiting for them to find us, we went on the offensive and we mailed them a dollar bill. And then we emailed them a video of us ironing the dollar bill, telling him how good we were taking care of this first dollar of the many we were going to make them. And it was this amazing, you know, campaign. We ran the numbers recently. And unfortunately, the author of Ultimate Sales Machine passed away, Chet Holmes. But his daughter's running the company and she was on my podcast. We've become good friends. And so she's reissuing the book and she was interviewing us. And we ran the numbers. And out of thin air, brand new company, within about 18 months, we had created $194,000 of revenue just from the Dream 100 campaign.
Wow.
I think this is so, if you're a small business and you're like, I don't have a marketing budget, I don't know what I need to do, just make a list of the 100 clients you want to go get and then just go get them. And I know that sounds overly simplistic, but if you read that book, it'll actually talk about how to do that. And so Ultimate Sales Machine, Hyper Growth Sales, I'll share some more because I can. I know I'll hang up this podcast, Sean. I'll be like, dude, there's like 19 more books I want to say. That I always go to. And I'll shoot you guys a list that you can copy and paste.
Yeah, for sure. For what's funny, Jeremy, is I actually have that $1 bill sitting in my office, you know, still ironed out, nice and pretty. And I actually, from that, so we're looking for our next BDM. And so I did the 100, I sent that out to 100 agent real estate agents out there, the top agents out there. So just did that. So anyway, the idea was obviously from you. So thank you for that.
I love it.
I want to ask you on
that. So my whole career, like the best ideas I've ever had, the most successful ideas are the ones that sound absolutely absurd when you say them in a meeting. But if you actually follow through on them, they somehow work. So just quick sidebar, it's worth sharing. When I was 23 years old, 2 years into my web development company, my last name is Pound. Mm-hmm. The name of the company was Pound Interactive. And we built websites for advertising agencies because like they didn't know how to do that yet. And so our tagline was building great interactive experiences is that it's as easy as a cake. And then it was a pound.
Nice. So
I went to this big conference to launch this campaign and I flew my mom out to like one of those residence inns. Yeah. She's an amazing baker. And she baked 300 mini pound cakes.
Oh, wow.
With our tagline. 7 years later, I was still getting phone calls. I was out of the business and people were like, I was at a conference and I think your mom baked some pound cake.
That's a mom that's awesome. That's got her son's back for sure.
Yeah. Oh, huge. But yeah, those ideas are the ones that work. So that's been like a real lesson to me. Like the crazier it sounds in the meeting, the more likely it's actually going to work when it comes to marketing.
A question popped up that I thought would be good for you to answer. Since you deal with so many BDMs around the country, what's your model on like compensation plans? So do you believe in all commission or a strong base with, you know, upside? What's your take on that argument?
I don't think there's one size fits all, but I know what works for us and what we recommend. It's funny, Chet Holmes, Ultimate Sales Machine, I've learned from him, different businesses in the past that were all commission. One thing I've truly learned though is that having an all commission model does create a certain kind of relationship with the business. And that may or may not be what you're looking for. And what I mean by that is they tend to look at themselves as a hired gun. Mm-hmm. I only am hired to make sales. So when you guys know our sales team, you've met them. Mm-hmm. They come to our conferences, they help create content. They do so much that helps them create sales. That is not directly creating sales. And they're true team members. So they have a great base. And that's what we teach is, you know, what are you trying to do here? Most of us are truly trying to create somebody who's going to become intimate with the nuances of selling residential property management, why we're different than somebody else. And so for that reason, I found from experience, I can't prove this, it's just kind of like an anecdotal experience, that when people are paid a healthy wage based on a market rate, that is not what they need to make or want to make, but it creates a sense of compensation and affinity for the work you're asking them to do, the meetings you're asking them to come to, the training that you're putting them through. I find that successful. Having said that, these are salespeople. If you want to attract somebody who truly wants to win, I believe in a variable compensation model, which is commission-based, and it's typically exponential, not linear, meaning, you know, if you close one or two deals, you're compensated at a per deal rate that's lower than if you close 10 deals, which is lower than if you close 20 deals in a month. Mm-hmm. And so my goal for compensation is to, you know, politely starve out the underperformers and to golden handcuff the people that you never want to lose, right?
Yeah.
Without having to like give them raises. It's just built into their comp model. So I'm a big believer in things with that. I got other concepts, but that's like the 30-second elevator pitch.
I appreciate that. We're in alignment with that because I think even to attract better talent today, I mean in today's world, I think you need a decent base and benefits and all that than just the hungry the guy that, because I mean they're gonna, you want somebody that's gonna buy into the whole company, and we want quality owners and long-term relationship with them. And so I think somebody that's going to nurture that relationship as well as somebody that's going to need a base, but or strong, a decent base.
Yeah. If I can extend one more piece of experience on that, because in addition to being, you know, in addition to selling to and serving business owners, I'm a big part of entrepreneurs organization. I'm just surrounded by entrepreneurs, and it's amazing how many people say, well, I'm just going to go get a salesperson and just pay him on a commission because I got the product, I got all this. But when you recruit, you are marketing the same way you're recruiting customers. You got to say, look, you've got this kind of marketing, you've got this kind of product, right? The best salespeople have a lot of opportunity, guys. There's not a ton of great salespeople that are out of work out there. Mm-hmm. So if they're really hungry for a commission only job, you either are offering them such, let me say it another way. People that are taking commission only jobs are going into real estate. They're going into life insurance. They're going into businesses that will pay them giant commissions or create annuity streams for them. And most of us small businesses are not doing that. Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't be trying to compete with people that are.
So true.
And now to continue on that, how do you keep them engaged long-term? Do you have any strategy and not fall into this, you know, and maybe they hit their numbers. Maybe they just hit the minimum. Maybe they're rock stars. Yeah. Maybe it's a culture, but what's your thoughts on that?
Now we're really getting into the good stuff. We should have started here. Creating an army of engaged, you know, salespeople that want to work for you, that are truly leveling up and they're like surprised by their own success is something I'm so proud of. I've had that happen a few times at different companies, but for me, you know, and that's just probably my personality, but when I bring somebody on and they think they can do X and I can show them how to do 120X or 150X, it's amazing. The loyal that you get is amazing when you can show somebody how to achieve more than they ever thought. Now they're still the one doing it. You're not doing it for them and just, you know, showing them like, here's your commission because I called the customer. Mm-hmm. But when you're truly investing in them, showing them how to do that, and you're learning what makes them tick, what they're excited about. We have, this is something newer, it's something I've always wanted to do. And I've always kind of done it informally, but we're finally doing it formally this year. Everybody's got an area in life that they want to level up in our company. And I'm greenlighting as much investment and training I can get into that. So everyone's given me their goal in 2020, where they want to level up and in life. Some of that directly affects what we do. Some of it's completely unrelated, but it's extremely important to them. And, you know, we just share wins with them. We encourage them. We ask them if there's something we can help them with as owners, we give it to them. If there's training they want to invest in, we green light it. I'm a big believer that nobody, the right people aren't going to leave you because they're growing too fast with you. And that means both professionally and personally. And that doesn't just mean money in their bank account. It means they're becoming better people and being a part of the company. And that's a big part of what we're doing. I mean, we did, you know, if you guys are EOS, do you guys do the EOS? Like
Scaling up. Very similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. Yes. EO was founded by Vern Harnish. So I'm a big, I'm trying to get back here. I don't think it's on my immediate show. Love Gazelles and Scaling Up and Rockefeller Habits. But EOS challenges you to have a purpose that you can articulate that everything you do is driven by. Mm-hmm. And so we discovered late last year that our purpose was kind of like diluted and we fixed it. And it was creating bigger futures through personal and professional development. Mm-hmm. And so for us, that means our clients. That means our clients' BDMs. That means our people. And so that's just served us really well. The better future we're creating on a daily basis for the people in our network and atmosphere, the more we've been winning ever since we've made that realization.
Yeah, I mean, you got awesome people on your team. Mm-hmm. Everybody that we've worked with, I think, have been phenomenal. And I think they're talented and they're good at what they do. And so for us personally, sometimes the relationships that we've like developed or we met somebody somewhere and like, man, that guy's sharp. Like, and we, you know, hold on to their card or, you know, Joni's been really good lately at just recruiting, you know, and just, hey, can we, you know, would you ever be thinking about making a change? And do you share that same philosophy? Have you recruited some of your people?
So, I 100% share that philosophy.
With not stealing, but you know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. No, we did. Our latest hire was a recruit. In fact, Joni, she was at.
And she was a rock star. I could.
She's the one that went on stage,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I recognized her. I'm like, man, if I could have her, I would be.
Actually, thank you for reminding me. Our last two hires were at Nashville Sales Mastery. So
our people cannot go to that event. Just FYI.
Yeah, right. Joni's next on our list. Yeah. Sorry.
Next, I'm going to go to that event. Just
But we have a lot. We have more positions to answer that question that we've just truly put out and attracted using our own process. We say, hey, like I said, to us, recruiting is like marketing. Mm-hmm. We put every bit as much effort and resources into attracting the next best fit for our company as we do on our clients. And I think that's where a lot of entrepreneurs have room to grow, because I was not always that way. I was always like, you know what? This role might cost $80,000 a year, but I bet somebody young would take it for 60, and then I can like trade them and I get to keep all that money. No, you bring in that $80,000 person and they will make you 10 times
the
person who's not qualified for that role. So we've really leaned into best in class. And it doesn't mean we overpay. It doesn't mean that we're, you know, bringing in everybody at some ridiculous rates. It just means we're truly listening to what the market is asking for that position. And we're happy to be on the high end as long as we're convinced this person's a slam dunk. In fact, I think there's a line in scaling up about the container store and the retail, right? And like most retail pay minimum wage, the container store pays like $20 an hour, but they found one really great employee was 3.5 times as productive as the average employee. And so they're still making out at the end of the day.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. So just a couple more questions that we have. We're going to go get into the work-life balance, because we know that you do that really well. So what advice would you give somebody on how to manage that part of your life?
Every time I see you on Facebook, you're like driving somewhere. You take a month and go somewhere in the mountains, and you're all over the place.
And so you just got engaged as well. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. I'm a very fortunate man in a lot of ways. So, 20 years of grinding it out, guys, teaches you a lot of what you like and don't like. And one of the things I've learned is you can have anything you want as long as you're willing to pay the price for it. Mm-hmm. And it all starts with getting clear on what that is. So, it's being honest with yourself. It's really sitting down and saying, what do I want? What kind of life do I want? And when Jordan found me and we started Rentscale, I had already transitioned my other business into a completely location independent company. For me, I live in South Florida, which is an amazing place to live. But I gotta be honest, a lot of my entrepreneur friends agree, we don't have the best, most, voluminous talent pool for the kind of work we do. And so we're not next to a huge university. There's just not a ton of people that are, 10 out of 10s that we're looking for. And so we decided we're gonna have a location in the company. You can live anywhere you want in the world as long as you're playing by our rules, you're online. And I wanted that for myself. So that's just one example. I've always wanted to spend half the year in the mountains, half the year down here in, in South Florida. And you know what? I've been saying that for 9 years, but I finally started making efforts towards doing that. And if you have the right people and you invest in the systems, it's amazing how much your team wants you to be able to do those things. And so it's a collective effort. But at the end of the day, I guess I'd just say is it starts with being clear on what you want and then defending that and finding ways to still be successful while having those things. So
Do you ever feel guilty? Like if you're like a month off or something and they're all, do you ever get that? Or do you feel like,
it's interesting, my version of a month off would be like me going working on a product for a month. Like probably no version where Jeremy's going to go actually take a month off. I'll be back in a month and I'll have a whole new course and product, there's no guilt there, I try, and I'm not perfect about this by any means, but I'm trying to be aware, and I need my team to call me out on this if I'm not. I want to make sure we're all winning at equal amounts, right? And obviously, I'm the co-founder and I have certain privileges and disproportional results are rewards for what we do. Mm-hmm. But everybody's got their own goals, and that's why it's so important to invest in theirs. Like if we're all winning, everybody's going to want everyone else to win more. So
yeah. That's kind of, it sounds like you did that too with, you know, them defining their goals, mm-hmm, and
sure,
wanting what they want to accomplish, and you doing everything to help them achieve that. So I think that you probably do, they probably appreciate that and willing to, you know, give you as much as you're giving them.
Mm-hmm. But
so
yeah,
cool. Hey, what about any habits you formed? You know, you've mentioned kind of some of them, but tell us some more habits that you formed in your life that's helped you in business or in your personal life.
So, you know, I do. Yeah, I'm pretty ingrained in certain habits. I do like variety. You know, I will say that. I think that a lot of people have this idea that, you know, habits are this thing where, mm-hmm, now you can never wake up and decide what flavor of the day you want to follow. And you have no remember. As you know, that's not really what it's about. However, yeah, I said that, you know, you follow a pattern long enough, it becomes ingrained, whether that's a good thing for you or a bad thing, mm-hmm, for you, both of those for sure. But one thing that I've been doing for so long that I just almost don't even enjoy not doing, I do it on vacation, I just do it almost all the time, is, you know, I wake up early, I spend the first 60 to 90 minutes, you know, kind of feeding the brain, learning, reading, just kind of like focusing on my goals. Spend the next hour after that doing something physical. I've got built out a nice gym in my garage. It's one of the best decisions I ever made, because if you're feeling crappy, you can be like, well, I'll just go up for 5 minutes and I don't have to drive to a gym or anything. You know what happens? 5 minutes turns into an hour. I know you guys have an amazing gym. I now realize who I'm talking to. I actually have gym envy every time I see Joe.
and we did that before COVID, and thank God we did. Yeah,
for sure.
Just did I? You're right, and all of a sudden we look like geniuses, because I joke, I feel like when I fill up my my net worth, like my home gym is actually one of my highest assets now. Like, crazy.
Yeah, I went through the roof with gym equipment.
But feed the mind first, then I feed the body for an hour, and it's just true. I almost take this for granted, but you know, if you want to be healthy, guys, you got to take your meds, right? And meds is an analogy that I love, and it's meditation, exercise, diet, and sleep. So if you want to perform well, if you want to be a peak performer, we tell our BDMs this, right? Like, you can't be irritable. You can't be unfocused. You got to show up. You got to be able to retain a ton of information. You got to be focused. You got to be likable. You got to be sharp on your feet. And that all comes from taking your meds, right? You got to be, you know, sharp mentally, sharp physically. And when you do that, you can truly compete at a level that nobody else can. So that to me is just like the ingrained habit, focus, sharpening the mind, sharpening the body, and then everything else throughout the rest of the day is a lot easier.
That's awesome. Love that. And yeah. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah. You need to write a book on that. Copyright it. So since you started off with, you know, you do have habits, but you like, so it sounds like a little bit of spontaneity.
Variety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell me some you've done spontaneously recently.
Recently, so, you know, you talked about us living on the road for a month last year. So it was obviously during COVID, and I had been talking about finally moving to the mountains. And, you know, we were very fortunate that my fiance, her family has this beautiful mountain house in New Hampshire, just waiting there for us to use it, right? But you know what it's like as an entrepreneur? Sounds so great, but you got to take the time. You got to block it out, right? And so we just said, hey, let's just do it. Let's just go spend, you know, 6 weeks on the road. And we drove up, we packed up the dogs, we packed up the Peloton, as you know, because Joni and I ride it. Beyonce is obsessed with her Peloton. And we just packed up the Range Rover and we just drove up to New Hampshire, and it was amazing. And the business ran, I was as productive as ever. And we've now committed to doing that every year. So we're gonna do that again this year. And it's just, you know, it's just one of those things that you always say you're going to do. And we finally pulled the trigger on it. And it was one of the best experiences of our lives.
That's awesome.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. We had the same philosophy. We said, well, we're going to buy a business in New Mexico so we can go travel more there. I'm like, we don't ever go there to visit. It's just work it out.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. We appreciate you being on. I think you provided a ton of value. So if we can ever return it, please, you know, don't hesitate to ask. And
And how can our listeners get involved with you?
Well, do check out Renscale. We've got a YouTube channel, Facebook, obviously our website. We're committed to really upping our game on video content, like you guys. You guys are an inspiration to us. So I do believe our Renscale YouTube channel is going to you know, really go to the next level. Want to do a lot of teaching. We constantly have webinars that are free, it is so important to me that whether you ever do business with us or not, you actually learn something. So these are not like sales webinars where you show up and I sell you for a half an hour. We're trying to give away some of our best content so that people can understand what's out there. So following us on social media at Rinscale is a great way to learn that. And then I think I'm on every channel as just Jeremy Pound. But you know, I probably don't do enough posting. We're probably better at following Rinscale.
All right. Cool. So check Jeremy out on rentscale.com. If you're looking to hire a BDM or if you're, you know, looking to design your sales playbook, it's rentscale.com. So thank you, Jeremy, so much for joining us today.
So good to be here, guys. I really enjoyed the show and I'm pretty excited to be a part of it. Thank you.
Sounds good. All right. Well, you know, stay tuned for next week's episode and please share this and like it. And we'll see you all next week.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Cog, cog, cogging.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.